Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll stand, would you find your place there? Starting verse number 1. Glad to see our church back in church tonight. Amen. Exciting to see. Amen. It says in verse number 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You can be seated. Brother Dale, would you open us up in prayer and pray for me? Amen. Well, I lied to you Sunday night, and I wasn't not on purpose. Didn't plan on lying to you, but I told you we'd probably be back in Judges tonight, and obviously we're not. The Lord has led me a different way again this evening. Amen. I read across a verse of Scripture earlier today, verse 16 that we just read, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and it hit home with me. And began to see news articles today, put out today about the Pope and all these other wickedness going on in our world today, and it made me start to think and start to pray for our nation, gave me a burden for our nation. We are closer than we have ever been to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Obviously, we get closer every day, but we see more and more today than we've seen. We never seen what we've seen today before. Wickedness like it's never been before. This message tonight is going to be maybe a little different than my normal way of doing things, but I pray it might be a help to you, at least an encouragement to keep on keeping on, maybe a challenge to you. I'm just going to use verse 16 as the title here of this message and preach just a few minutes on redeeming the time because the days are evil. First off, we ought not to be so surprised by the sin that we see. The Bible tells us that the sin is coming, tells us the wickedness is coming. We are surprised by it. We ought not be. We ought to expect it coming. Even in Ephesians, Paul was saying the days are evil. Even all the way back there in Ephesians, Paul said these days are evil, and they've been getting worse and worse and worse ever since then in our day today. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." 2 Peter 3:3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." That's what we have today. So we shouldn't be surprised by what we see. But yet we are. At least I am. It shouldn't be, but every time I see on the news, it surprised me. Really, are we really doing that now? Here are some things that surprised me today, and I really shouldn't. Number one is abortion in our country. And I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Abortion is one of the biggest controversies of our day, of our nation, especially today. There's no other way to look at it. Aborting your child is murder. Amen. There's no other way to look at it. I know some argue health and different things. I promise you there's a lady somewhere that would be more than happy to take that baby off of your hands if you didn't want it. Abortion is murder. They told my mom that if I was born, I was supposed to be supposed to have Down syndrome. They recommended abortion for me. And you may question my sanity and understand that. The point is, they were wrong. How many babies have been recommended to be aborted? They would have been perfectly healthy. How many times does that happen? Besides the fact those aren't perfectly healthy, God planned just as much a plan for those that aren't perfectly healthy as he does for those that are perfectly healthy. He has just a plan for every one of them. Yes, thankfully, since I read the statistics today, but since 1984, the number of abortions has slowly dropped. But still, in 2016, for every 100 babies born, 18.6 are aborted. For every 100 babies in our nation. In 2017, there are 862,320 reported abortions in the U.S. alone. That's just the ones that reported. Did you know that in Alaska alone, there's 6 different facilities that Alaska has that women can go legally kill their unborn child? In Washington State, not far, there's 51 places they can go do the same thing. California is 419. There's a survey done in 2018 in the U.S. of those surveyed, 43% said they thought abortion was perfectly moral. 7% said it depended on the situation. So 50% of our nation, according to a survey anyway, in 2018, believe it's morally okay to murder your unborn child. That's a scary time to be in. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. As a nation, we are about to vote on our next president of this nation. A nation founded on godly principles by men with a backbone who stood for God, stood for what was right. Yeah. One of our presidential candidates openly supports the murder of unborn babies. Right. Kamala Harris, I'm going to call names. It's okay. One of her big pushes in legislation was the Women's Health Protection Act. It sounds innocent enough. If the bill is passed, it will make it illegal for a state to refuse abortions if the heartbeat is present. For instance, Tennessee says if there's a heartbeat, you cannot abort. In North Carolina, it's the same way. This bill will get rid of that, make it illegal to be able to tell a mother that. That's what the vice presidential candidate has to say about abortion. She says it doesn't matter. She doesn't care when during the presidency the abortion happens. It's up to the mother's discretion is what she says. So according to her, any time during the pregnancy up until birth, if the mother decides she doesn't want the baby, they can kill the baby right there. She said that she supports abortion any time. And it says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Days are evil. Abortion is a big thing in our nation today. Sodomy is a big controversy in our nation today. Homosexuality, whatever you want to call it, is out of hand. It's still an abomination before God. Leviticus 18:22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Amen. Somebody says, that's Old Testament. That's different than that today. You're just old-fashioned. It says in Romans 1:26, this caused God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Because in verse 32, who, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. God calls it vile affections in the New Testament. They which commit such things are worthy of death, according to Scripture. I don't think we can get much more plain than that. You would think, oh, that's a given. Obviously, God says that does not approve a man with a man. Obviously, God does not approve those things. God said that marriage very plainly in the Scriptures. You would think that'd be pretty plain in the Scriptures. Yet today, I read an article, and the largest so-called Christian leader of our day comes out in support of civil unions for sodomite couples. Pope Francis, this was a Christian. This is his quote in the article today. It's in the Washington Post, New York Times. You can see it everywhere. His quote says, homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. Talking about the church family. He says, they're children of God and have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. Actually, Mr. Pope, a sinner who is actively committing sin ought to feel extremely miserable in the house of God. If someone comes in the church in sin, I'm not here to condemn them. I'm not going to bash them or throw rocks at them. But if they are living in sin, the message from the Word of God ought to prick their hearts. It ought to convict them that they are wrong. They ought not feel perfectly at home in the house of God if they're living in sin. I want sinners to come to church, but I don't want them to tell them it's okay that they're in sin. I want people to come. I want sinners to come. They ought to know that the church is different. They ought to know there's a different place. They ought to hear some truth from the Word of God, from the pulpit. If I don't do it, I'm wasting my time, wasting your time. That's what I'm supposed to be here doing. Be it the largest organization that is supposedly Christian in our world today, more pagan than Christian, now openly supports two sodomites joining in a civil union to protect themselves legally. They still say a marriage between them is wrong, is what the Pope says. He says, but a civil union is okay. They don't care what you call it. It's still a sin. Doesn't matter to them what you call it, as long as they can join together. Civil union marriage, they don't care what you call it. New York Times read this today. It says, church teaching does not consider being homosexual a sin. Catholic Church does not believe that homosexuality is a sin. This supposed church that said that what God called an abomination, they said, nah, it's not a sin. See the problem yet? I know this is unpopular. I pray you don't want to hear this. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And our days are very evil in our nation today. It was found on godly principles. We see this in our news today, and that breaks my heart. We could go on about the sin that our nation today is in. That's not what I want to do here tonight. If you have any kind of spiritual mind about you, if you have any relationship with the Lord, He's going to point out your sin. I shouldn't have to list every sin there ever was, give you a checklist to count off. If you have a relationship with the Lord, He'll point out your sin. We are to redeem the time. How are we supposed to do that? That's what I'm trying to preach here tonight. What can we do to redeem the time? Well, this passage of Scripture I just read gives very simply how to do it. Three steps on how to do that. Number one, love the sinner. Ephesians 5, verse, chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Followers of God as dear children. It says pretty self-explanatory. Just follow God. Not prideful, as dear children. Walk in love. Here's a challenge. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Live in love because Christ did it first for you. We ought to love the sinner the same way Jesus Christ loved us and loved them. Love them when they hate us. Jesus Christ died for us before we loved him. Give of ourselves for them because they love before they love you. I've learned that's the ministry. Love people when they don't love you. That's easy to say and it's hard to live. You say, well, how far are we supposed to go? How far are we supposed to go? This thing of love for the sinner. It says, as Christ also hath loved us. Romans 5:8, but God commits love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a long way to go, longer than I want to speak of. It says in Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times. Jesus said to him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Most of us don't have that kind of patience, because we don't have that kind of love. Love the sinner. Love others. I promise it's not always easy. Doesn't change the command. Love you. So that is you don't sound like you love a sinner tonight, preacher. I do love sinners, but I hate sin. That's the, number two, hate the sin. Love the sinner, number two, hate the sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger nor unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. This is often where Christians and churches and even the Pope get mixed up and get themselves in trouble. Yes, we ought to love the sinner. Yes, we ought to love them like Christ loved them. You ought to hate the sin. Like Christ hates the sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin. It ought not be found amongst us, Paul says. I don't think I need to go into every one of these sins he's mentioned here. You can read them. You can understand them just as well as I can. He doesn't leave anything out. If you miss something, he says all uncleanness. That covers everything else not mentioned. It covers everything. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let him fool you and talk you into something, make you think it's okay. Don't let him deceive you. Sin is a sin is a sin. No matter the person or the circumstance, it's a sin. Man can always make enough excuses to make their situation sound okay. Well, we just don't have a choice, and we have to do it this way. We're in a hard situation. We have to do it this way. Sin is a sin is a sin. It's always going to be a sin. Whether it's convenient or not, it's still a sin. Whether the baby is convenient or not, you perform the act. You get the consequences that come with that. You get to grow up and be an adult. You don't get to abort your baby. Just one example. God says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Church, we ought to be different in the world. It's easy to say and it's hard to live. Yes, we have liberty. We have grace. And yes, we have 1 John 1:9. Thank goodness, Miss Arlene. But that doesn't give us free reign to live like we want to. It's going to cause problems. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Stay away from it. We ought to look different. We ought to act different. We ought to talk different. How can we redeem the time in this day and age? Be different than the world. We ought to look different. We ought to look like a church. How can the church make a difference in 2020? Be different than the world. This world needs someplace different. They need to see some peace. They need to see some joy in the house of God. Ought to be a place they can come for rest. Ought to see something different in here. Need to see someone with some hope for the future. You ought to be able to find that in us. Love the sinner. Hate the sin. Ought to look different in the world. Number three, very simple, be the light. I know there's a lot more we can go into this passage. This is a very simple outline. Verse number 8, for you are sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, verse 8, there ought to be a theme verse. It ought to challenge you to do something for God. Verse number 8, It says, for you were sometimes in the darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were sometimes dark, but now you've changed. We were once in darkness. We were once dying and on our way to hell before Jesus came by our way. If it wasn't for him, I'd still be on my way there today. If it weren't for him, I'd probably be the drunk on the street that needs the gospel with no family and no future. Because of God's grace, I'm in the house of God tonight. Not because I'm anything, but because he's everything. I don't deserve it. But now are you the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, you've changed. I've done something for you. I've turned your life around. Now act like it. If you're saved tonight, you once were darkness, but now you are light. Walk like it. Act like it. If you're the light, you ought to be as bright as you possibly can be. It doesn't take much nowadays to be different from the world. The darker the room, the brighter the dim light looks. If I were to light a candle, I'm not going to light a candle. Last time I did that, I broke stuff and anyway, cut myself. But if I lit a candle in this room right now, it wouldn't seem very bright. And go cut the lights off, that little candle seems a lot brighter. We're living in a dark world. Wicked days. We're in evil days. Any little light's going to make a difference. You say, well, I'm not that big of I'm not that good of a Christian. None of us are good Christians. There's no such thing. I can't do that much. You can do a little bit. You can do something. Just act like it. Just seek his face and act like him. Walk as children of light. Every little light's going to make a difference. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't approve sin. Don't be okay with sin. You see your brother in sin, don't pat him on the back and tell him it's okay. Reprove it. It's a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret, he says. Don't approve sin. Love the sinner. Hate the sin. And be the light. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up, Christian. I preached a few months ago, and it's time to wake up. I still believe it today. I still believe we're sleeping. The church is sleeping on the job as a whole. Not just talking about this church as a whole. We're okay with sin. We don't condemn it. We pat it on the back. We wonder why our nation is in the condition it is in. It's because of sin. It's time to wake up. It's time we are a light. Paul says, awake thou that sleepest. Paul says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly means exactly. It means to walk as straight as you possibly can. Keep it as perfect as you possibly can. Our concern ought to be how much sin we can get away with. Our concern ought to be how close to God we can possibly be. How close to perfect can I possibly be? Not pharisaical, not prideful. Between you and God, you ought to strive to walk as close to God as you possibly can be. It's not me saying that. That's what the Word of God says right there. Walk circumspectly, as perfect as possible. Why? What is the point? Why would we try to do that? Because we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We're running out of time, church. Because we don't have time to waste being halfway Christians. We don't have time to waste living like the world and come to church like everything is okay. We have a short amount of time left here to make a difference in this world, to be as bright of a light as we possibly can be, and take advantage of the time we've been given. I don't know how much time we have left here. I don't know. It may be hundreds of years. It may be a year. It may be a month. I don't know. And you redeem the time because the days are evil. I think we can probably all agree the days we're living in are wicked days. And they really are evil. Our nation as a whole praises sin. Half of our nation, told you many, half of our nation thinks it's morally okay to kill a baby. How can you be okay with that? That is not okay. The leader of the largest supposedly Christian, mostly pagan religion in our world today comes out and says, so it's not a sin to live in homosexuality. When God plainly says it's an abomination, how can you ignore that? We're in evil days. Our days are definitely evil. That's why it's more important than ever we stand up, we be the light, make a difference. Jay was talking about the light earlier while he was praying, not hiding under a rock, but out being as bright as we can be. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Be light, be different. You say, well, how do I do that? Sunday night, I preached on soul winning. You don't have to wait until church visitation to do that. Monday afternoon, the day after I preached that, God gave me the opportunity to do just that. I got to break into somebody's car for him. I got to share the gospel. I got to give her a track, invite her to church. I didn't get much time. I got to do something. That's one way. It's really the most important way. One other way. I know preachers aren't supposed to get political. I don't believe that. Joseph was pretty political. Daniel was pretty political. David was pretty political. He was a king. John the Baptist was political. He had his head cut off because he went and stood before the king and told him he was wrong. Amen. I think it's important for a preacher to be political. We have an election coming up. It is your moral, your patriotic, and your Christian obligation to get out and vote. Go vote. I'm your pastor. I'm telling you, go vote. You have the opportunity to make a difference. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but one ticket, not to call any names, but it starts with Biden, ends with Harris. If you vote for them, you might as well throw your Bible in the trash can. Be the same thing. A true Christian cannot truthfully vote and support candidates that stand for what they stand for. They go against the Word of God and everything they stand for. Amen. You can't believe that. Go vote. I don't like everything our president does or says. I don't. He has done more for Christianity or Christian liberty than any president in my lifetime anyway. He has a lot of things he needs to work on, a lot of things he needs to fix. Look at the alternative. Look at our current Supreme Court nominee. She's not right on everything either. She's unapologetically pro-life. If President Trump gets 4 more years, we may get another judge nomination. We get 2 more judges, that could make us a conservative-leaning Supreme Court. Imagine what that could do for this nation. Overturn Roe versus Wade. Make a difference in our nation. We have an opportunity. Imagine what God could do with our nation if we get some things right in our nation. I told you 50% of our nation thinks it's morally okay to murder a baby. It also means 50% believes it's not morally okay to murder a baby. It means we still have a chance to get some things right. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Stay sure, our evil church. Don't waste your opportunities you've been given. Don't hide under a rock in these last days. Get out there, make a difference. Be the light you're called to be. Love the sinner. Hate the sin. Be compassionate for sinners. Don't pat them on the back and tell them it's okay to live that way. Be different to them. Be the light they need to see. Be the church you're called to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for even giving us tonight. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand here as the pastor, Lord. Lord, I pray you have me to redeem the time because today's really made me to stand where I need to stand, Lord. Lord, I pray you help us to go our separate ways this week. Lord, I pray you help our nation. Lord, I know we don't deserve it, Lord, but I pray you give us mercy, Lord, in these last days. Lord, I pray you help us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.